Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Task Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or a special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and plenty of free downloads to explore. Next week on the podcast, I'll take you through my new quick reference guide on classroom technology tips that was just published by ASCD. Head over to classtechtips.com/books if you want to take a look before next week's episode. This week's podcast is titled Teaching Lessons on Instagram Live with my guest, Jose Vilsen. With many schools tackling remote learning challenges, over the next few weeks, you'll hear from educators on the podcast who are trying out new teaching strategies and adapting to distance learning. In addition to my normal quick episodes with classroom tips, you'll see a few episodes pop up like this one with more in-depth interviews and, of course, actionable strategies right from within our conversation. Let's dive into the interview. I am so excited to welcome Jose Vilsen on the podcast. Jose and I met almost 7 years ago at a summit for Edutopia bloggers in California. He is a middle school math educator for a middle school in New York City, a national board certified teacher, author of the book, This Is Not a Test, A New Narrative on Race, Class, and the Future of Education, and co-founder and executive director of EduColor. Jose, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, and I know I shared a little bit about your work, but hoping you can share what your role in education looked like at the start of this year, at the start of 2020, and what it looks like now as we're entering the spring with just so many changes and obstacles that we're all facing.
I do want to thank you for having me on the podcast, and I am going to say too, a lot of what I'm doing is basically around classroom teaching. That's been my focus for the last 15 years or so. And I've been blessed to be able to do that with my students for as long as I have. For the most part, I've been that classroom teacher who's been focused on the 120 plus students that I've had. Now, obviously, as the executive director of EduColor, I also have the opportunity to have conversations with educators across the country around what's happening with regards to equity in education and any number of sort of like racial and social justice issues. And, you know, I think the current moment speaks volumes about the sorts of gaps that we have in equity and education. And so we seek to address those in the best ways possible. And I think even the current moment where we've literally had to turn around our entire face-to-face experience to one that is predominantly online has been, it's been a wild ride to say the least, but I think it's given us a window for what the future of education may look like. And then furthermore, what we need to do in order to ensure that all of our students are able to get a quality education.
Absolutely. And right. So many things to think about when it comes to this component of not just the access piece, but the quality piece. And so I really appreciate you sharing, you know, that position of kind of shifting things, but also, you know, these are conversations that people have been having, right? We've all been having, you know, for quite some time. And, you know, I follow you on social media. I have for a while. And I first saw you mention this on Facebook. I think it was Facebook where I caught it first, that you were doing some live videos for students to support their learning at home. And I caught one of your live streams on Instagram last week. It was one where you were making some book recommendations and sharing some different resources. And I was hoping that you could share a little bit more about this, you know, what drew you to using this medium or this platform, and what did you have to do to make it happen?
I am a believer that we want to reach students where they are, right? So a lot of what we're trying to get at is how do we make this relevant or at least exciting? And I think Instagram provides that platform in a way that maybe other spaces don't, where other tools are strictly academic and educational and teachers give access to the students. Instagram just says, well, come one and come all. And so there's a bigger drawer there for our students. Furthermore, I find that, you know, maybe if they're spending 80% of their out of classroom time on Instagram, but then at some point they catch their teacher doing a lesson on something, then they may be able to reach me in a way that they weren't able to reach me when I was doing the 8-to-3 work, as it were, the 8-to-4 work in school. I mean, there were any number of platforms I could have chosen. I did not choose TikTok, not because I can't dance, but because I'm not good with choreography. But I mean, I'm real. Like, I'm good with music and I can dance, but I could not. But I did find too, though, that like Instagram provided me a way of saying like, hey, I know you're here and I know you're following me and I know I really shouldn't be following you back, but at the very least, I'll give you some incentive to get some math on. And so when I did actually start my Google Classroom, I had a lot of activity on there because people were able to see that I was invested in their mathematics education from at least a couple of different angles. So, and not to mention all the parents who have chimed in, the people who are like now all of a sudden disaster homeschooling at this point. They're like, oh my gosh, like, this is such a lifesaver because you're actually trying to teach me how to teach my students or my kids math. And that's been a big revelation for us.
Nice. And I love what you said about meeting the kids, you know, where they are, but then also saying, you know, yeah, you might also be in TikTok, but that's not where I'm going to be, right? You know, so you understand where everyone kind of is and where they're consuming information, but also making sure it's the right fit and not kind of force. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen in different spaces. But, you know, if kids are in Instagram already, you know, the platform lends itself so well to that kind of personal, almost conversation that you're having. Kids can comment right away, or they can just sit back and watch it at another time. So, you know, are there particular, you know, things or features that have jumped out at you that have been really useful in kind of fostering those connections when folks are tuning in?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think the easiest part is that, like, I literally press a button and I already have access to everybody who follows me. And that's been really awesome. Then there's another part where, again, I can just keep talking and then I can read comments while I'm talking and then saying hi to people at the same time. Those sorts of features are give it that interactive feel that I've been really appreciative of. Not to mention, it's just a thing where if I have something that just comes up randomly and people see my mistakes, then they're able to comment on it like directly on. Right. Whereas with what I'm finding with YouTube, by the way, like I literally just started a YouTube for real, like maybe last week or something, just to get some of this, authentic learning recorded somewhere and documented. It isn't quite as authentic because, you know, I can edit as much as I want on YouTube. But if you put it on Instagram Live, then whatever just happened. And again, I don't choreograph, so everything I'm doing is pretty much on the fly. I think you asked something about how I made it happen. I think I just came at it. I just said, you know what? The people need it. And I just hit record. I didn't ask anybody. I didn't want really people's permission. If anything, I just say, you know what? If I do it, I'll do it. And then I'll apologize later if I have to. I won't be apologizing though. So there's that element too.
Yeah, I'm a big ask for forgiveness, not permission person too. Where like, let's try and just make this happen. And then, you know, we'll work it out if it wasn't the right fit. Right. And right. So, you know, you mentioned two different ways that you are really being responsive, which I think is what is so great about, you know, using social media in these ways, right? It's super authentic, right? So you're responding to saying, hey, I know everyone is in this space already. They may follow along or now they can follow along, right? So just being someplace where they already are, but then that in the moment, you know, responsiveness that happens, right? So even if it's a whole class lesson, right, you might not get face-to-face, right? I feel this way sometimes even when I'm working with a group of teachers or if I'm, you know, doing a demo lesson with a group of kids, right? I'm not going to necessarily be able to hear from everyone, right, all the time and kind of move things in that right direction. But that comment feature, the Q&A feature, right, some of those pieces really allow you to be responsive in real time. And I saw that when I was watching yours live just a couple of days ago. So, you know, I wonder when I'm thinking about this particular platform and leveraging tools this way, you know, you compared it to what you wouldn't get right off of YouTube, right? Are there any other kind of value adds that have jumped out at you over the past couple weeks of exploring this platform?
Well, yes. You know what? What I think about too is that as soon as I'm done giving whatever lesson it is, that I guess being able to record that lesson and then show it to everybody along with the comments. So one thing I've been doing is actually screen recording some of these things when it goes well and even when it doesn't, just so I'm able to get a sense of what people are responding to and what people aren't as responsive to. So it kind of sharpens my pedagogy from the Instagram point of view. Like the things that I would do in real life are not going to necessarily translate to the things that I'd be doing on IG Live. And I know that for all intents and purposes, some of that math is going to have to be me kind of entertaining, but also be informative. So those are all elements that kind of come into play. I mean, the Q&A feature you mentioned was really powerful. Having people turn in their questions, maybe 6-7 hours in advance, so I can have a set of answers for them when I do get on live, was really powerful as a tool. And then also being able to say, hey, like, if you have some sort of question that just came up because of what we said, drop it in the comment box and then I'll see it live and I respond to it accordingly. These are all the, like, that interactivity is probably the most powerful part of doing IG Live versus trying to do it in any other platform.
Yeah, I think that data collection component is really interesting, right? Just that real-time feedback, getting those questions right in the moment, whether it's something you're going to address right then or later on, and just getting, I think it's also neat as someone who's viewing something, right? And I would imagine students might feel the same way, that if someone's asking a question or has a comment or puts like a confused emoji or that made sense for me kind of emoji, it really reinforces that experience for them too that they might be having when they're not sitting next to someone right in an actual classroom.
For sure.
So when it comes to this platform, you know, I think for folks who use social media a lot, this idea of going live is still a little scary, right? So for folks who don't use social media very often and are thinking about this idea of live streaming or really incorporating that into a lesson, what are some things that you would share with them, some advice on what it looks like to go into a public feed, go live like this, as opposed to pre-recording something or posting it on a platform that is just for kids, just for their students?
This is something that I find really fascinating, is that those of us who've taught for long enough recognize that our lessons are live already as is. When we write up a lesson plan, we may think we're going into a lesson doing exactly what it says on the paper, but then all these human interactions happen and all of a sudden you realize your whole platform, your whole lesson that you planned so long for ends up being trash. And then that's when you actually teach. So some of this stuff that I do on social media is very much, replicating that which I would do in the classroom anyway, which is, okay, I'll plan and I'll think about the things that I need to be saying and I'll know what the topic has to be. But then we call these things teachable moments all the time. And I would venture to say, like, teachable moments are teaching, because really we don't teach whatever subject area it is. We teach students. And so when we teach students, we're actually teaching human beings and being responsive to their needs according to the things that we're trying to do with the, you know, content area in mind, of course. So, you know, the fact that I am a teacher of students doesn't change the fact that I'm actually teaching them math. But it does give me a way of saying, hey, like, the students are more important than the math I have to teach. So then when I do whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it be on Instagram Live or on in my own classroom, it's me being responsive to what's happening in front of them. So it's like having a conversation where you may not have exactly all the answers, but you're pretty set on what you will probably say. And I think that that's a good way of approaching all this, is just saying all you're doing is teaching. And you're teaching with a cell phone in your face? Sure. That's going to be some folks, right? But there is it's pretty much the same thing, because in many ways, students are still recording what we say. In many ways, students are right. They're going to comment, and sometimes it's not going to be the nicest at all times. But if you are able to draw them in and you're able to engage them, even questions of relevance don't matter as much when you make it like connect with kids. And I think having that human touch is really important, and especially in a time like this, because when people want to know that the person who's giving them the assignment was actually thinking about the assignment before they gave them, right? Otherwise, what's the point of us being there? We could just give a whole bunch of like tests and quizzes and just be done. But, you know, I guess what the IG Live does, in lieu of me being face-to-face with my kids, is say, hey, like, there's a human being back here, and I want to explain it in the ways that I can and in the ways that other folks may not be able to.
Yeah, I mean, all those things that you just said about the authenticity piece of this, I think is so huge, right? Like, you know, we're all taking risks when we're in classrooms. I talk a lot about using technology, right? Things can go wrong, you know, all those kind of things, right? When you're in a classroom environment and you have to reposition or, you know, take on those kind of moments to move things in a different direction than you might have expected. But, you know, that level of authenticity that's there when, you know, I'm watching you or I'm watching someone, right, come across my phone and share something there, you know, the energy level that's there and that relationship component. So you mentioned, you know, this idea of I'm not seeing everyone every day anymore, right? What is, you know, I've established classroom community. It's the spring now, so it's not like everyone is necessarily brand new to the classroom, right? You have those relationships with your students that have been put in this weird like holding pattern, right? So what have you noticed in terms of, you know, that response, that kind of personal connection? Are you feeling like that is helping continue, right, those relationships during this really scary time? Have you seen any kind of responses that might allude to that?
It's funny you mentioned that, because I just told somebody this, but I feel like I wouldn't be able to do this remote learning situation if I didn't already have established relationships with my students, especially ones that were face-to-face. So especially with so many, there are so many different values and communities that people have. But when you think about what an actual teacher does, so much of it is about relationship building first, because how can you trust somebody that you've never seen before? And then how can you trust them with the ideas that they have, right, without that element either. So those are just both things that I'm always considering, is like, how do I make sure that I'm able to connect with my kids through this math? Sure. But then what IG Live does for me is say, okay, well, if you can't, like I said, if you can't see me, at the very least, you can actually like see me face to face. I can't do much if, like, in terms of the way of like teaching you, without you actually seeing who I am. And then also, just to add on, right, I'm also noticing when kids are turning in assignments, which is totally different, because without the school building, it's almost like, well, now we have an opportunity in a way to say, like, maybe school was working for you as a structure. Maybe school wasn't working for you as a structure. And so there are kids who have been turning in tons of assignments and doing them well where they normally wouldn't. And then there are some kids who are excelling at school and just kind of drift off in a way because they don't have that school structure with them. And so I'm kind of nervous right now, but I'm hopeful as well, because at the very least, I am trying to do my best to like connect with them on a human level and making sure that they're okay during this crisis.
Yeah, I mean, that's so interesting, those observations, right? It makes a lot of sense when you think about all the variables people, you know, and kids, right, are facing right now, even in the best of circumstances, right? There'd just be, you know, so many variables with that piece. And you know, I think that there's a lot of wonderful resources out there, right? When you think about math tutorials or screencasts that can be shared and step-by-step guides, right? But that's wonderful, right? But sharing a link is going to be a very different situation than like inviting someone in the way that you have. At least that's how it seems to me kind of as an outsider. So I really appreciate, you know, you sharing about this Instagram component, because I'm a huge fan of using tools and getting people where they are and all of that. And I think it's really valuable for people to hear about what you found, right, in those interactions with students. Have you had any feedback from families or adults or kind of other folks in your school community about this so far?
Yes. In fact, I think I've encouraged more people to hop on a YouTube, hop on the Instagram, like create their own Facebook lives and try to find ways to, I guess, teach with community in mind. So many of our classrooms have been closed for years and years, not necessarily because we want them to be closed, but because the structure of school is such that we are often disconnected from teaching whole communities about the ways that we teach. So, for instance, if I'm in my classroom, right, and my student says, oh, Mr. Wilson's a great teacher, the parent wouldn't necessarily know unless the kid is like, yes, I'm super excited about him. He's my favorite teacher, yada, yada, right? But then with an Instagram Live, there is an incentive for both parent and student to come see me teach. And so in a way, it's almost like, yeah, like this is the work. Parents have been, in many cases, been able to tune in and actually see me teach, especially the parents of my own kids. That's been really revelatory, because it's not so much that to the contrary, I really believe in parents. And I think that comes through in so much of the work that I do. And so when I see them on the other side of, I don't know, like a Google Meet or Instagram Live, whatever have you, I'm always like, yes, I'm so happy you're doing it. Like, it's not enough for me to just give you that phone call. It's good that you actually came to go see what your child is doing, because that way I'm able to like teach both of you so that you're able to kind of move without me. So you can actually be that independent learner and have that support at home. So I've gotten really good feedback from a lot of different parents. And some of them did it kind of quietly, but I can kind of see when they're responding, when their kids actually start turning in work, and I'm like, okay, so we're here. We're together. This is good.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And it's just so wild to think about how much has changed in the short term, even, right, with how was your day at school to, oh, I watched part of that math lesson that you were doing on Instagram TV too. You know, like, right, just a family conversation at the end of the day is so interesting to think about how everyone can interact with content or connect with a teacher. And I think that's one of the reasons that when I saw you were doing this, I was just so excited to hear more, because I think it's so relevant. It's been interesting to me, even from an entertainment side of things, to, you know, press different buttons than I might normally, right, do in an app that I use every day. And so having this way for you to reach your kids is so inspiring. And I hope it'll get other people curious, you know, about what tools they already use that they might use in different ways, how they can leverage the community they've already established in their classroom and just kind of keep things going. And so I appreciate you sharing the Instagram piece, but I'm also hoping that, you know, you can share a little bit with my listeners about some of the just general success or challenges that you've observed, you know, over the past few weeks. I taught, you know, in a Title I school in the New York City DOE for 6.5 years, you know, so this particular geography, which I'm not very far from right now, is really near and dear to my heart. And so I'd love to just learn a little bit from you, if you don't mind sharing, you know, what has felt really good with this quick and crazy shift to distance learning, and what are some of the challenges you're still trying to navigate?
I think I'm blessed in a way, because our school and our staff has already been acclimated to using virtual / online tools for the better part of the last 6 or 7 years, starting from any number of Google Suite applications to even Google Classroom as a tool that English language arts teachers use. That's been really powerful, even with math using Prodigy. You know, I can just name drop any number of tools, right? And that's been really good to see, because in some respects, we were already ahead of the curve, not to mention, you know, their professional demeanor and the ways that they just say, you know what, it's an emergency and I'm going to have to teach because this is the way that our students are going to get their learning. And so I've been really buoyed by that, because that sort of spirit is something that I think so many of us relish when it comes to actual teaching staffs. Now, the other element, though, that's been kind of like harrowing, too, is that when we are in our, I guess, our specific homes, if you will, we're seeing a different element when it comes to engagement. So often, you know, we'll do a Google Meet and then all of a sudden we notice maybe like 3 or 4 students are actually on at the same time, even when we set it like beforehand, or there's some students who, you know, unfortunately may have fallen through the cracks because we weren't able to like get them at that specific time. But then like they'll whip around the next weekend and they just turn in like 10, 12 assignments at the same time. And you're like, oh, so without school structure, a lot of our kids wouldn't know exactly when to turn in things or you know, any number of things like that. So I think the last week and change has really given me a sense of where students are as far as like their home lives are concerned, as far as like their social lives are concerned, and then how necessary that face-to-face interaction is, because it's, you know, in school, I'd be able to be all over them. I'd be like, hey, where's my work? Hey, where's my work? That's not the case here. Like having 6 or 7 adults calling one house for one child is probably going to be stressful enough, especially in an era like this. So yeah, it's incumbent upon us to try to like relieve as much stress as possible for the time being until, you know, whatever this is that we're in right now can kind of dissipate.
That's so interesting to think about that, you know, what the kind of change in structure, right, or lack of kind of a time part of that structure, maybe, you know, from a day-to-day is going to look like in terms of, you know, what all of us in education kind of reflect on and say, you know, what other skills are maybe we not spending time on, right, with time management or goal setting or things that sometimes don't get really brought into everything we do in a thoughtful way. So that's interesting to think about which students are navigating kind of all of that management on their own really easily, and which others are going to need that support, you know, moving forward, whether they kind of now know it or now we know it, right? Reflecting on that too. So, you know, before we wrap up, Jose, I'm hoping that you can tell listeners a little bit about your book, This Is Not a Test, and your work with EduColor, and where you're co-founder and executive director, so that folks can hear a little bit more about that perspective of the work that you do, both kind of in and outside or adjacent to the classroom.
Only the easy questions. Okay. all right. So I'll start from the top. I feel so. Everything I'm centering on is on education, first and foremost. As a classroom teacher, that's been my privilege for 15 years. And so, you know, the book, This Is Not a Test, is quasi-autobiographical in that, yes, it is autobiographical, but then there's elements that actually talk about the work that I do as an educator, as a teacher leader, as someone who's become relatively prominent in the education space. And so the book, at the time that it was published, I think 2014, there were any number of books, I'd say a dozen or so books written by different types of authors, journalists, etc. And then there's a bunch of teachers who also wrote a book, but then, you know, they didn't stay in the classroom. They, in fact, their book was centered on them leaving the classroom. Well, shout outs to folks who, you know, did that part. But then for me, I felt like this is the book that says, what happens when the teacher stays? And mm-hmm. So the book, This Is Not a Test, was focused specifically on that with a racial lens, racial justice lens, assuring that people have the conversation around race, class, and education in a really profound and deep way that assures everybody's humanity. Now, once you have that energy and you extend it to something that will, you know, make your life's work, that's what my work with EduColor basically is basically saying like, hey, we have any number of people who feel alone in the spaces that they're in, and they don't feel like they belong to any sort of education space that's currently out there. So EduColor, an organization dedicated to race and social justice issues, we've been around for the past 5 years, and we've been very fortunate to help any number of institutions move in a profound way, especially to have the discussion around race. And then furthermore, all those things wrap up when you put them all in sum. It's just a way of saying, hey, like, we all belong. And our students, especially the ones at the margins, especially the ones who are living in impoverished situations, especially ones that are living in conditions that they shouldn't be living in, they all deserve a space on this table. And if we can't get that space, then we should make a new one. And I've been a very big advocate for assuring that all of our kids not just get access to the quality education, but that they actually get the quality education through the systems that we've been granted thus far. So that's been my work, and I've been very honored to do it on behalf of communities and parents across the country.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing that, you know, where, you know, just so many ways and so many things to think about. And I hope that folks will reach out and connect with you, right? Not just with the kind of Instagram component, which I'm excited to talk about today, but also this other, you know, very, very important work. And so I'd love for you to share where listeners can connect with you and stay in touch and maybe follow along on Instagram and with your organization so that they can have the most up-to-date info.
The easiest way to reach out to me is through Twitter at THEJLV. That's the JLV. I'm also on Instagram at THEJOSEVILSON. So that's the Jose Vilson. My website is also thejosevilson.com. It's pretty consistent. I'm blessed to be able to say, like, you can Google me and I pop up. Like, thanks. Emails, not as good, but if you have something longer to say, by all means, please send it. I'll definitely try to read it in my time. But then also, just, you know, reach out. Like, I'm hyper responsive on any number of platforms, and as well as EduColor Movement, that's EduColor MVMT or EduColor.org. We have people responding all types of times, and we have a chat every last Thursday of every month. So that would be it. And feel free to just reach out to us, and we'll try to respond with resources and people for y'all to approach. So thank you for your time.
Perfect. Thank you. And I'll make sure to put all the links so that people can find and connect with you. Thank you so much for taking some time with us today.
Of course. Thank you very kindly.
Now let's finish up the podcast like we always do with tips for making this EdTech easy. If you want to try out the Instagram Live strategy, here are some quick tips. First, create or open up your Instagram account. Next, jot down a few talking points on a sticky note. Then, start your live feed using the options right within the Stories button. Finally, respond to comments during the live and save the video for others to watch later. Next week on the podcast, I'll take you through my new quick reference guide on classroom technology tips that was just published by ASCD. Head over to classtechtips.com/books if you want to take a look. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow @ClassTechTips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and host lots of professional development virtually. So if your organization is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.